Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
If you had to pick one verse in the Bible that for you has been the most faith-building, the most encouraging truth in Scripture, what would that verse be? We'll hear from you today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
All right, you've heard of the ostrich approach, and you've heard of Chicken Little. I want to give you a better perspective on dealing with difficult issues today and get some encouragement straight from the Word of God and hear from each of you. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us the day before Christmas Eve. In fact, it's a special day in the Brown household because 32 years ago, our youngest daughter, Megan, was born. So, Megan, if you're listening, well, of course, you're listening. What else are you going to be doing on your birthday with family in town at 3 in the afternoon? What else are you going to be doing but listening to The Line of Fire? So happy birthday for me and all of us listening today. All right. You might be wondering what in the world I was talking about with the ostrich approach and the Chicken Little approach. I'll explain that to you. Here's what we're going to do on the broadcast today. When I talk about the ostrich approach, it's sticking your head in the sand. Things are going on in the world. Things are bad. Things are discouraging. So what are you going to do? Stick your head in the sand. Family problems, physical issues, monetary problems, spiritual issues, stick my head in the sand. Make believe they don't exist. The other approach is the Chicken Little approach. Just dawned on me before the show that we can contrast two birds here. The Chicken Little approach, the sky's falling. It's over. This is it. It's terrible. There's no slow. No. What are we going to do? No. I want to present you with a different approach, which is that you look head on at what's happening. You adequately assess it, and then you take hold of God's perspective. To help us do that today, I posted a question on Facebook and asked it at the beginning of this broadcast. If you had to pick one verse in the Bible that for you is the most encouraging, faith-building verse, which verse would that be? How can I say they're good responses? They're quotes from Scripture that are so wonderful, so incredible. We've got several dozen already that came in right before the broadcast. But let me ask you, my dear listener, what verse in the Bible, what truth in Scripture has been the most encouraging to you, the most edifying to you, has blessed you the most? If you had to read one verse to our listening audience today that has been for you the single most encouraging verse, the single most faith-building verse, what would that verse be? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you have it memorized, then when you come on the air, just give us the reference and quote it to us. If you want to read it, give us the reference, read it to us. If somehow you're not by your Bible and you don't know exactly where it is, you can quote it for us, or if you can come close to quoting it, we should be able to tell you where in the Bible it is. But through the broadcast, I'm going to be reading verses that have been posted already so we can be encouraged by the Word of God, because it's easy to take the ostrich approach or the Chicken Little approach. It's easy to be so overwhelmed by the negativity, by the worldliness of the world, by the wickedness of the wicked, by the works of Satan, by the discouraging situations of society, by bad reports from the doctor, bad reports from your employer, bad reports from the news, problems in the church, whatever it is, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. There are a lot of people suffering. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hardship. There's potential of war, North Korea threatening nuclear war with South Korea. The world could just erupt and ignite like a tinderbox. There's a lot of bad stuff going on. Let's be honest about it. You can have the ostrich approach. I'm just going to ignore it. I'm not saying an approach of faith where you look at it and believe God. I'm saying the ostrich approach where you stick your head in the sand and say, hey, I'm going to ignore the trouble that's coming In which case, you set yourself up to be more of a casualty. Why? Because you're not fighting against it. You're not resisting it. You're not taking a stance. You're not putting on the armor of God. You are not taking refuge in God. The other extreme is when you look at what's happening, rather than ignoring, you panic, you flip out. You believe all the bad stuff, but you don't believe the good stuff, the God stuff, I should say, the promises, the things that he's spoken, the reality of who he is. It's interesting. We get letters, emails constantly from folks thanking me for the encouragement I bring. And you know we tell the truth on this broadcast. You know here on the Line of Fire, we don't mince words or play games. We're very honest. In fact, I'm going to play some sound bites for you today that might distress you. My goal is to sound the alarm, to be a voice of moral sanity, spiritual clarity, to function as a son of Issachar in accordance with 1 Chronicles 12:32, understanding the times and knowing what Israel should do, okay? So we want to see, okay, this is happening. Real problems in the Middle East, real problems in America, real problems in the church. We want to look at it, but not have the Chicken Little approach of, oh, no, the sky is, it's over. What are we going to do? No, we want to look at things and then get God's perspective. And one of the best ways to live in this is to be full of the encouragement of the Word of God. I heard from one Christian leader who had interviewed believers in China that had suffered terrible persecution, that had been imprisoned and even tortured. And they said the thing that enabled them to get through and what separated them from the ones that didn't get through, this is just the ones he interviewed, this is the consensus he heard, those that had the Word of God stored up in their hearts, those that had the Word of God treasured within them could rely on the promises of Scripture and be strengthened by it. Those that didn't have that foundation, it was easier for them to cave in. So, give me one verse. You might say, there are 5 or 10. Okay, pick one of them. The verse that is the most faith-building verse to you, or the verse that is the most encouraging to you, the verse that in a time of pressure, trouble, difficulty, speaks to you the most, the verse that brings most comfort to your soul, most assurance to you. What verse is it? We'll hear from some of you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or our Facebook page where many wonderful, glorious verses have already been posted. Ask Dr. Brown. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. I am also going to answer some e-questions because we'll obviously have some special programming tomorrow and the next day. By the way, we raised the question 2 days ago, should believers celebrate Christmas or not? Yes or no? Celebrate Christmas or not? And had some good discussion, and in fact, edifying discussion on the air, edifying discussion on our Facebook page. Well, since then, it has gotten kind of intense on our Line of Fire blog. People are weighing in pretty aggressively, but having some very in-depth, serious argumentation about this. So if you want to weigh in on this discussion about Christmas, to celebrate or not, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Line of Fire. At least read the comments. You'll find them enlightening. What I do, because I don't like the materialism and the secularization of things, because as a Jew, as I said, my own history, Christmas does not have a special spiritual meaning. But because I know for many it does, and I was in the grocery store the other day, and they were playing a song about Emmanuel, great song, Emmanuel and the Incarnation. I thought, you don't hear that every day of the year in the grocery store. So I won't exploit that. But my way of doing it is to wish people a blessed Christmas. In other words, if you're going to celebrate it, let it be blessed, and let it be about Jesus. Let's see what else we're going to cover here. I don't have a lot to say about Korea aside from saying this really does need prayer because the potential is explosive and the potential is many, many lives lost and a lot of suffering. So we need to be praying, God, your kingdom come to North and South Korea. Your will be done. We look at what's happening in the nations. We sometimes don't know how to pray. I find myself in that situation many times. And that's when I will use the model of what we call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and Luke 11 and pray through that and pray for the hallowing of God's name and pray for the coming of his kingdom and the doing of God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And as I pray that, then I can begin to pray more specifically. But if you don't know how to pray, there are other ways where you can take the scripture and apply them to different situations. All right, before I get into your e-questions, before I play some of these sound bites, which you don't want to miss, let's get our first scripture. Frank from St. Augustine, Florida. What is your verse?
My verse is, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, I'm hoping I got it right. It's Joshua 1:9. So tell me how close I came.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're right there. In fact, it's repeated a couple of times in Joshua, the first chapter. And let me just say this, Frank. I was meditating on those verses a few years ago, and it struck me that that God had to tell him that over and over again, and the people even told him that. And it could have been that the courageous Joshua that was ready to take the land 40 years earlier was a little bit worn down, and 40 years later had maybe a little more trepidation. And rather than picturing him as just this fearless warrior, maybe he was a guy that had some doubts and weaknesses in himself, which is why God repeatedly said, I've commanded you, don't fear, I'm with you. And that's our strength as well. Frank, thanks for getting us started, and have a blessed Christmas.
Merry Christmas, thank you.
All right. We'll be back with more of your verses, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's encourage one another in the Word today. The battle is real. God's power is more real still. We'll be back. All right, which verse is the single most encouraging scripture to you? If you had to pick one verse in the Bible that's a faith-building, encouraging verse, maybe it's been special to you through the years, maybe it's just one that it stands out as, wow, this is such divine truth for storms, for difficult times, for challenging times. What one verse encourages you most? Michael Brown, bringing you encouragement from the Word today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. If you call in, have the verse ready either to quote or to read. If you're not sure exactly where it is or exactly how it goes, but you got it in general, you can still call in and we'll do our best to tell you where it is. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I contrasted the ostrich approach with the Chicken Little approach, both of which are bad. Stick your head in the sand and ignore the problems, or look at the problems head on but without faith and think the sky is falling. It was suggested by our faithful radio assistant here, Randy, that there is another bird approach, and he wins the prize of good job, man, because there's no prize today. Thumbs up. We're in sync here. He says the other choice is the eagle's approach. Yeah, not the ostrich, not the Chicken Little, but the eagle's approach. Isaiah chapter 40, they that wait upon the Lord, those that put their trust in the Lord, wait for the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Randy's commentary saying when storms come, they face it head on, spread their wings, and use the wind to soar higher than they could go on their own wing power. Okay, Randy, is that true? Is that eagles really do that? Okay, that is very cool. So the storms come, they face it head on, spread their wings, and use the wind to soar higher than they could go on their own wing power. I like that. Let me read some of the verses that have been posted here. Oh, where do we start? Ecclesiastes 12:13, meaningful to Kyle. The conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For Van, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. That's all he needs to know. I understand that. For Aaron, Isaiah 53:4-6. Hey, let me do this, since this is a precious passage of scripture to me as well. Every word of God is precious. This is has special meaning because of Jewish ministry. I'm going to read this in Hebrew and translate it for you. How's that today on the Line of Fire? Achein choloyenu hu nasa, surely our sicknesses he carried. Umachovenu svalam, and our pains he bore. Vanachnu chashavnuhu, but we on our part, we regarded him as nagua, mukei Elohim umuneh. We regarded him as smitten, struck by God, and oppressed or afflicted. Vuhu, but he, Micholah Mipsha'enu, was wounded, pierced for our transgressions. Midduka may avanotenu, crushed because of our iniquities. Musar Shlomenu Alav, the chastisement that brings us peace was upon him. Uvachavarato Nirpalano, and by his wounds, at the cost of his wounds, there is healing for us. Kulanu Katson Ta'inu, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Ish the Darko Paninu, each one has turned to his own way. Vadonai Hifgiabo, the Lord has smitten him or placed upon him, et avon kulano, the iniquity of us all. And as I always point out when I quote those verses in Hebrew, verse 6 of Isaiah 53 begins with Kulanu and ends with Kulanu. All of us sinned. The iniquity of all of us was placed on the Son. That is encouraging news. As Aaron says, nothing is more encouraging than knowing I am safe in the arms of my God because of his death on my behalf. Angela, John 15:9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Yochanan, Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. And then Samuel also quotes Isaiah 40:31, which was just quoted to us in part from Randy. We'll be reading more verses as we go on. If you'd like to read one on the air to edify the listening audience, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me tell you why you need to be in the Word and believing the Word and holding to the Word. There is a lot of activity that is dangerous and ugly, a lot of hateful people wanting to do violent things, a lot of people wanting to do violent things to believers, wanting to do violent things to Jews, wanting to do violent things to others. Listen to this exchange from earlier this year. David Horowitz, who is a former radical liberal, now is a radical conservative, and is very active on campuses and really bringing awakening on campuses to some of the reality of Jew hatred. Listen to this exchange with a Muslim woman. She's in Muslim garb, not the full burqa, but she's got the kerchief I forgot what you call the thing that you, scarf. I guess it's just a scarf, but David Horowitz refers to it as, you know, terrorist scarf at the end. I want you to hear this interaction that took place after he spoke on a college campus. These sentiments are here among radical Muslims in America, and because of them, we need to keep our focus where it belongs, on the power of God, the reality of God, and the love of God. All right, let's listen.
Good evening. I just wanted to say thank you for coming to campus tonight and presenting your point of view. It's always valuable to have two sets of views going on at the same time. Very useful. My name is Jumana Imad Musa Ahmed Al-Bahri, and I'm a student here at UCSD. I was reading your literature. I found that much more interesting than the talk. And I found some interesting things about the MSA, which is an organization that's very active on campus, and it is hosting our annual Hitler Youth Week. You should come out to those events. If you could clarify the connection between the MSA and jihad terrorist networks, because last I checked, we had to do our own fundraising, and we never get help from anyone. So if you could clarify the connection between UCSD's MSA, or if you don't have such information, if you could connect other MSAs on UCs, because the connection wasn't too clear in the pamphlet. Just if you could clarify.
Okay. Will you condemn Hamas here and now?
I'm sorry, what?
Will you condemn Hamas?
Would I condemn Hamas?
As a terrorist organization, genocidal
organization. Are you asking me to put myself on a cross?
So you won't. I actually have had this experience many times. You didn't read the pamphlet because the pamphlet gets chapter and verse. The main connection is that the MSA is part of the Muslim Brotherhood Network as revealed in the documents.
I don't think you understood what
anyway,
I meant by that. I meant if I say something, I'm sure that I will be arrested for reasons of Homeland Security. So if you could please just answer my question.
If you condemn Hamas, Homeland Security will arrest you.
If I support Hamas, because your question forces me to condemn Hamas, if I support Hamas,
well,
I look really bad.
If you don't condemn Hamas, obviously you support it. Case closed. I have had this experience. I had this experience at UC Santa Barbara, where there were 50 members of the Muslim Students Association sitting right in a row there. And throughout my hour talk, I kept asking them, will you condemn Hezbollah and Hamas? And none of them would. And then when the question period came, the president of the Muslim Students Association was the first person to ask questions. And I said, you know, before you start, will you condemn Hezbollah? And he said, well, that question is too complicated for a yes-no answer. So I said, okay, I'll put it to you this way.
All right. On the other side of the break, you're going to hear the other question that David Horowitz raises. You don't want to miss this. These are sentiments held by people at our campuses in America having Hitler Youth Week in support of jihad. That's bad. However, God rules and reigns, and if our faith is Him, we will see the kingdom advance even in the midst of Islamic radicalism. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed as always to be with you. We're bringing you some encouragement from the Word. We're talking about the realities of what's happening around us, which we should not and cannot deny. But we are stepping back and looking at God and looking at the truth of His Word. 866-34-TRUTH. If you'd like to call in and read a verse that for you has been a precious faith-building verse, a verse, a word of encouragement. One gentleman asked the question on Facebook, does Romans 8 qualify as a verse? I mean, it's an extraordinary passage, Romans 8, verses 1 through 39. One of the most amazing, soaring passages in all of Scripture. But maybe you have a verse that has always blessed you in a special faith-building, encouraging way. We'll hear from some more of you in the second half of the show, 866-34-TRUTH. Remember, if you call in, if you don't know where it is and can quote it, that's fine. If you can read it to us, that's great. If you don't have it exactly quoted and know exactly where it is but want to give it a shot, we'll probably figure out where it is and what the verse is you're talking about. Again, let me tell you why we need to really be focused on God and the promises of His Word. We are in a spiritual battle, and there is a lot of darkness, and there are a lot of people who hate God, and there are a lot of people who believe in other gods, and there are a lot of people who believe in other values, and there's a conflict. And sometimes people are violent against us, sometimes they're hateful, other times they're just working for what they believe is right, and it's complete loggerheads with what we believe is right. There's a lot of difficulty, not to mention economic problems some are having, not to mention those that are going through physical challenges, not to mention those that are going through serious family challenges. I was going to get to some e-questions today. I don't think I will, but a couple of them I was looking at earlier, real painful marital situations, infidelity, trying to reconcile. What did Jesus say? In the world, you will have trouble. Isn't that what's written in Scripture, John 16? But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Listen to the end of this exchange between David Horowitz and a Muslim student on campus earlier this year. Again, it's striking to hear what her position is.
I'm a Jew. The head of Hezbollah has said that he hopes that we will gather in Israel so he doesn't have to hunt us down globally. For it or against it?
For it.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and showing everybody what's here.
All right. Can you imagine that? She is for all the Jews being gathered together in one place to be slaughtered. For it. Okay? And she's saying it publicly. That's out there. That is out there. Now, I am not comparing this quote to that you're about to hear with the previous one. All right? I am not comparing a Muslim woman saying that she'd like all the Jews to be rounded up in one place and slaughtered. I am not comparing that. Let me say it one more time. For gay and lesbian friends or enemies, if you consider yourself my enemy, you're not my enemy, but if you consider yourself that to me, that's your prerogative. You may be listening and saying, how can he compare? I am saying one more time, I am not comparing, okay? What I want to say is, from a conservative Christian viewpoint, here's another troubling quote from a completely different angle, and I want you to hear this from Congressman Barney Frank.
4 years ago, a Republican running for Congress in Indiana said, don't vote for his Democratic opponent, because if he won, Nancy Pelosi would become Speaker, and she would let me enact the radical homosexual agenda. So let me own up to that agenda. It's to be protected against violent crimes driven by bigotry. It's to be able to get married. It's to be able to get a job. And it's to be able to fight for our country. Hey, for those who are worried about the radical homosexual agenda, let me put them on notice. Two down, two to go.
All right. That was Congressman Barney Frank, openly gay congressman, announcing that, as he's sarcastically referring to it as the radical homosexual agenda, which to him is just, hey, we want to be protected from bigotry and hatred, we want to be able to get a job, we want to be able to marry, we want to be able to fight for our country. That's how he puts it. And I'm sure in the lives of many homosexual men and women, that's exactly how they see it, and they laugh at the idea of a radical homosexual agenda. Others would say you're talking about the transforming of society in many negative ways, taking away of freedoms of religion, freedoms of belief, restructuring family, and on and on. And silencing of all opposing viewpoints. Just to mention a few things, I document that, of course, at length in my forthcoming book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. But so you can know what this actually means, it means censorship. Now, I'm going to encourage you. I am going to encourage you. But first, I'm saying let's assess what's happening. Now, I'm not comparing these quotes to the quotes of Muslims that want to kill all Jews. Okay, I'll say that once more. I'm saying these are indicative of real serious conflicts from many different angles in our society. Okay, I could just as well read an economic report. I could just as well read bad news about disease and sickness. All right, I'm reading things that would get our blood boiling, or sharing sound bites with you that would get our blood boiling. What do we do about it? What do we do? One of the things I do on the Line of Fire broadcast is get your blood boiling, but for a purpose. For a purpose. Now, we talked about the fact that iPhone apps, Apple apps, banned the Manhattan Declaration, which is graciously written and standing for life, standing for family, standing for fundamental values that we've lived by for centuries. And some gay groups were upset with it and got it banned. There's all kinds of promiscuous things, every kind of foul sexual thing, gay websites, apps. That's fine. That's fine. But this is considered offensive. So National Organization of Marriage put out this video, but you can get everything from the audio about Steve Jobs, who turns into Big Brother at the end. So let's hear this.
The iconic Steve Jobs. In 1984, he ushered in the Macintosh and revolutionized personal computing.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the information purification.
Promising to take on Big Brother in the process. Brilliant marketer, builder of companies, legendary product designer. He's made billions taking on Big Brother. Over 300,000 apps for everything from finding directions to purchasing products and supporting causes, provided Jobs agrees with them. Like apps for the right to abortion and gay marriage. A group representing hundreds of thousands of Christians developed an app to support life and traditional marriage. An approved app rated 4+ and certified by Apple reviewers to contain no offensive material. What did Jobs do? He killed it and called those causes offensive. Pro-abortion and gay marriage are approved. Pro-life and traditional marriage are censored. What's happened over the years is the iconic Steve Jobs has become the ironic Steve Jobs. He's become Big Brother. Tell Big Brother you won't be silenced.
So that's the ad from the National Organization of Marriage. So GLAAD, Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, took exception to this. And they said, no, the Manhattan Declaration calls gay and lesbian couples immoral. It calls the recognition of their relationships false and destructive, and claims that allowing them to be married will lead to genuine social harms, and tells you that should be forbidden, that Apple did the right thing, and banning that, you can't even take exception anymore to these things. How do we respond? How do we react? What should our attitude be? I will encourage you on the other side of the break. All right, friends, welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you. This is one of the few programs that will get your blood boiling in holy indignation and then tell you something constructive to do about it. An outlet for your faith, a way to believe God in the midst of difficulties, challenges. When I was teaching at Love One Out, this was sponsored by Focus on the Family in the past and was taken over by Exodus International. It was a very compassionate all-day program that helped families, helped individuals dealing with unwanted same-sex attractions. How do I minister to someone in my family who's identified as gay and lesbian? What do I do if I'm struggling in these areas? I'm a pastor. How can I help? And then my role was to just talk about some of the social issues going on and things that we could do about it. And after I did teaching one time, I got feedback from the folks there at Focus. They said, you know, this is exactly what we want in terms of getting people to see what's happening. We just need to really build their faith more afterwards. So let's make sure the way I had ended it when I had more time to teach, where I would just say, okay, what do we do now? What do we do? How do we respond? How do we react when gay activists want to censor our very disagreement by saying, oh, a man to be with a man is wrong, that's immoral. And we're going to be censored from even being able to say that in certain public forums if gay activists have their way. How do we respond when we just see things being done that are unrighteous, that are grievous? How do we respond? What do we do? And my friends at Focus said, hey, if you could do what you do when you teach on this at greater length, which is bring in spiritual perspectives at the end to encourage and to build faith, let's do it. So I want to do that on the broadcast. I played a few sound bites, just some things that can get your blood boiling, that can get you concerned, that can get you grieved. I've asked from the beginning of the show for folks to send in verses to us that are especially encouraging, faith-building. I've been reading many of them and then getting some feedback from Joey in the studio. Another caller, interestingly, teaches four-year-olds in Sunday school. A precious verse to her is the same one quoted earlier by our first caller, Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9, to be strong and of good courage. A text that's really important for me, and I could not say this is the most faith-building or encouraging verse in Scripture. In fact, I was thinking about, could I pull out one? And I've been having a hard time with just one, as I'm sure many of you are. But here's an important perspective. You can't get upset when people gloat or celebrate victory when it is contrary to your beliefs. You can't get upset. Maybe the president's signing of Don't Ask, Don't Tell was the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell was very, very grievous to you, very, very painful to you. And you watch and gay activists are celebrating. Now, many of them are celebrating because in their heart of hearts, that this is to them the end of discrimination. This is to them the end of something that was just as unjust as segregation. Others are celebrating because they see this as another step forward for the larger issues they're fighting for. Others are celebrating because deep down they're hostile to God and his values. But put the best construction on it. They're all celebrating because they believe this is an end of discrimination and a good, positive thing. But from your perspective, it's grievous, it's wrong, it's painful, it's destructive. And you hear the celebration, the smiles, the laughter, the cheers. Maybe it's something else. You know, I'll give you just a very earthly analogy for a minute. You're watching some game and your team loses in some agonizing way, and the fans on the other side, they're always hostile. Now they're cheering, they're mocking your team, and it can, you know, you can get upset over it. So now we take it into things that are of real import to us, a real import to us politically, a real import to us socially, a real import to us morally, a real import to us in terms of issues that are worldwide, whatever the case is. Or when terrorists are successful in doing something. Again, I'm not comparing gay activists to Muslim terrorists who are killing people, okay? Obviously, I differ with both and pray for the salvation of both, but you understand I'm not making that comparison. I'll say it yet again. We'll see if that stops anyone from misquoting me, but that's fine. So here's the deal. People gloat. People celebrate. And you get agitated. And that fleshly agitation does not produce a godly result. It does not produce a godly result. The anger of man, human anger, James, Jacob, chapter 1 tells us, does not produce God's righteous will. That's why Psalm 37 tells us, don't fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they'll soon wither, like green plants, they'll soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. I must always set my heart on God and his promises and recognize that ultimately his kingdom will come, recognize that his ways will triumph, recognize that in him I am wonderfully blessed, even in the worst of circumstances, circumstances that brothers and sisters of ours are experiencing far beyond what we can imagine. Being in him brings blessing, and outside of him, with all the riches and pleasure and favor of the world, brings destruction. We must have an eternal kingdom perspective. If we do, we will never stay discouraged.
I just
found out that Joey, our producer in our Winston-Salem studio, 20th spiritual anniversary, he surrendered to the Lord at the age of 7, 27 years old, 20 years in Jesus. Awesome, Joey. Blessed spiritual birthday, and again, blessed birthday to our own younger daughter, Megan, who turns 32 today. Isn't that cool? And her oldest daughter will be 10 just next month. Yeah, the grandkids, it's just amazing. All right. Before I get to my bottom line, let me just tell you that come the new year, we have some amazing opportunities for growth. Literally, to every day, to speak to at least 100 times as many people as we do right now, maybe even more. I'm talking about a massive open door that's been set before us. You know what we really need? We need monthly torchbearers. We need people who will stand with us on a monthly basis. And for those that do, those that are able to stand with us, be a torchbearer, send in at least $25 a month. There are special things that we're able to bless you with in return, special discounts when you order from our online bookstore, free access to all of our online classes, which would cost you that much a month at least. Many different ways that we can be a blessing to you. Send you a new CD with a fresh new message every month. We would be so blessed if we picked up a bunch more folks. If you've been listening regularly and are encouraged by the broadcast, stand with us. It would mean a lot. And I've said many times before, if you could watch our operation, the very little money that goes into salaries, the great amount that just goes into doing the work of God, you'd be blessed and encouraged. Go to askdrbrown.org, click on support, and stand with us. If you'd like to send a year-end gift, single gift, that would be tremendously appreciated. You can do it online, askdrbrown.org, click on support, or P.O. Box 5546. That's P.O. Box 5546, Concord, North Carolina, 28027. And come the new year, our weekly schedule, Mondays, we'll just leave open in terms of seeing which way the wind blows over the weekend. Tuesdays, again, barring earth-shattering things that change our focus, Tuesdays, we'll have special focus on the Word, key biblical issues, interpretation of verses, theological controversies, apologetics. Wednesday, key focus on moral, social issues, including how to live a godly life in the midst of this world. Thursday, focus on Israel, Jewish-related issues. And Friday, as always, you've got questions, we've got answers. And we'll have special programming for you tomorrow, Christmas Eve, and then again towards the end of the year, New Year's Eve. All right. Bottom line. The God of the Bible is, the God of the Bible is, the good God who is the creator of all is. That's all I need to know. That's true. If the God of the Bible is true, and I'm in right relationship with him, that's all I need to know. Everything else is secondary. Potential nuclear war is secondary. The destruction of the entire planet is secondary. Every demonic force in hell coming against me or you is secondary. If the God of the Bible is true, and if you and I are in right relationship with him, that's all we need to know. That means that we can always be encouraged, even in the midst of pain and darkness and even terrible loss that strikes close to home. We can still be encouraged because God is, and he is good. And even if it doesn't make sense to us now, if we hold on, we will see his goodness. And let me take it a step further. He came into the world. He came into the world. The Word became flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world and identified with us and took our pain and died and rose. That's all I need to know. That is a trillion times more important to me than the latest headlines. That is a trillion times more important to me than what any human being says or what any devil or demon says. The fact that God sent his Son into the world, entered into our world, took our sins, our pain on his shoulders, died for us, and rose from the dead, and says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's all I need to know. That's why John Wesley, dying at the age of 88, in the end of the 1700s, what does he say in 1791? The best of all, God is with us. Friends, if he's with you, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. That's all we need to know. Have a wonderfully blessed Christmas season.